Hi there, Billy Hindle here, the voice of Alice Dyer in the Magnus Protocol. As part of the Magnus Archive's 10th anniversary, Rusty Quill is hosting a special Magnus Live show at the upcoming Crossed Wires Podcast Festival in Sheffield. Join co-creators Jonathan Sims and Alexander J. Newell on the 5th of July for a new iteration of our live show, Statement Begins, where you can hear fan-favourite statements such as Anglerfish, Red Live, and gain exclusive insights into the creation and history of the show straight from the creators themselves. You can buy your tickets now, including limited numbers of meet and greet tickets, from crossedwires.live or the link in the description of this episode.
Na, noch keine Pläne fürs Wochenende? Besucht die Rotkäppchen-Erlebniswelt in Freiburg mit euren Mädels, der Oma oder dem Knallertypen von nebenan. Wir lieben alle Jahrgänge. Entdeckt unsere interaktive Ausstellung bei der Erlebnistour mit Audioguide und einem Glas Sekt und genießt im Pavillon die ganze Welt von Rotkäppchen. Die Rotkäppchen-Erlebniswelt, nur eine Sektlänge entfernt.
Siggi saust schnell und sicher mit seinem neuen E-Roller zur Arbeit. Finanziert mit Easy Credit. Falls er mehr Geld braucht, hat er seinen finanziellen Spielraum und ruft es einfach in der Easy Credit Plus App ab. Danach zahlt er planbar in festen Raten zurück und ist trotzdem flexibel, wenn nötig. Also macht's wie Siggi. Finanziert entspannt und sicher. Mit Easy Credit und der genossenschaftlichen Finanzgruppe.
Hi, and welcome to a making-of special of the Magnus Archives. Obviously, I'm Alex Newell, director, and I play Martin, and I have with me today...
Anil Goody, community manager.
Ben Meredith, I play Elias Bouchard, and I do a bit of admin on the feeds.
Martin Pratt, I'm the CTO, and I do all of the tech stuff, not Martin the character.
And I'm Mike LeBeau, I play Tim, and I'm also the lead editor.
So, what we thought we'd do is help describe for people what the making of consists of, because we talk a lot about the writing, and we sometimes talk about the recording and like the performance side a lot, but we don't tend to dive much into the actual nuts and bolts, the mechanics of what it takes to take what is effectively a script on a page and turn that into the show that you know and love, something that appears in your feed when you want it to and so on. So with that in mind, we thought we'd go through sort of point by point and explain how it is that we make these shows. So starting at the thing that everyone does know, obviously, is the script. We're going to go ahead and assume that people know that scripts have to be written, that Johnny writes the scripts, and we are presented with a script. This is what will be recorded, and with that we are able to start doing things like the logistics and planning the recording dates, casting, and so on. So I'm not going to dive into that. Similarly, we do casting next. I'm not going to dive too hard into that because we have answered that into the Q&A. Suffice it to say, we get the script, we cast the roles based on people who we think would fit the part, we get them to send in recordings, go, oh yeah, that sounds about right, and then we cast the roles, and then we get into the recordings. And it's from here that we're going to start digging a bit more into it. So with that in mind, Mike and Ben, both of you have sort of taken part now in quite a few recordings, both as Tim and Elias. Would you be able to walk us through what, from your perspective, a sort of standard recording looks like?
Well, I mean, what we've now got the studio, so we're all sat around a table, yes, which is great.
It's much better than it was before.
Yeah, we did a recording today, and we all got to sit down. We weren't all huddled in Martin's hallway, surrounded by a duvet that keeps falling over, or underneath a yurt made of
duvets. Made of blankets. Duvets. Yeah.
I loved duvets in pre-early days.
Yeah. Still very warm. Yeah. But effectively, I guess we go through the script and we make any edits that need to be made because of how people speak and like ideas that are had during, which, you know, doesn't happen too much, to be honest.
And then we'll do a read through, right? So we'll have a look through the script and then we'll read it to each other just in normal speaking voices and then in character to make sure that if there are any points of contention, we can iron those out.
Or typos, that's a common one.
Typos is another thing, yeah. It's unbelievable just how much a typo can throw you off when you're reading through a script.
Oh yeah, completely ruins. There's lots of... I mean, we did one today where we changed something and then changed it back, and every single time I got to that line, I just went...
So once we've done the read through, what we do is we get everyone allocated to each of their individual mics and we set all of the mics running simultaneously, as we are now, actually. So once we've done that and we start doing these takes, we'll do one take or two take. If it's a normal statement, I'd say normally what we do is we do it in a single take, but we stop and start. So we'll record a paragraph, stop, maybe re-record that paragraph or carry on. and then work our way through in a choppy way rather than doing one huge whole episode, stop and then reset a whole episode again, because we tried that and it didn't really work as a way of functioning, really.
Yeah, I mean, podcasting is not like radio.
No.
You have to operate in a completely different fashion.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to be fair, I mean, having gone through this process a few times, I mean, all the guys who are in the cast, like, now we know each other's styles a lot better, so we can start doing fewer takes every time we come in, and we know how we're going to react to things, we know how we work with each other, so that's, it's sped up the process quite considerably.
Yeah, absolutely. So the only time that that really changes is when we get a guest in. So part of being a guest is that we have to sit them down and we brief them on obviously who their character is, and sometimes if they're going to be a recurring character, we have to walk them through, you know, what kind of arc they're going to have.
Give them all the spoilers.
Give them all of the spoilers, and then force them to never ever...
as far as Johnny has written them.
And then force them never ever to reveal what they've learned here until it's already common knowledge, etc. And yeah, the recordings, generally speaking, we can record up to, I'd say, about 4 episodes in a day. More than that is unusual, but it can happen. But we try to record about once every 2 weeks, and we'll record about 4 episodes so that we can build up a backlog nice and quickly. Guest recordings can slow that down a little bit just because, you know, people need to get used to the setup, and simultaneously we've not worked with them before, so we try and arrange things in a way that suits them. But skipping ahead, we'll say that we've got the recording. The recording is done.
Yay.
Woo. So
everyone was really good.
Everyone was brilliant.
We all done a really good job.
Yes.
Lots and lots of raw audio.
Now, that's the thing, is whilst we have an audio recording, let's say a 20-minute episode can run at 40 minutes, 50 minutes of raw audio sometimes, and that's not actually a bad recording. That can be just a good recording with lots and lots of retakes because we want to get it perfect. And with that in mind, we then save that and make it available to our team of editors, of which Mike was lead editor for the entirety of season 2 of Magnus.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, walk us through. You have received a large amount of raw audio in your lap. How do you then turn that into a fully fledged episode that we can pass to Martin for release?
Well, the first part of the process is to get a pan and put it onto a medium heat. And then usually it cooks quite well on one side before you flip it over onto the other for about, you know, after about 30 seconds or so.
That's if you want it pink on the right side.
Got to start with the right side first, I find.
So no audio tartar then?
No, not in this case. I mean, we haven't got the budget for that yet, but we're working towards that, Anil. As you know, in the Patreon stretch goals, that's kind of where we're at.
What an excellent example of the kind of thing that can turn up in raw audio that you need to remove in order to get a fully fledged episode out at the end of it.
So Alex will usually pass me the episodes in bulk, and we do this through online drives because that's just the easiest way for everyone to be able to access the audio as and when they need it. Before we were able to bring on other editors, when I was back in the beginning of season 2, it was mostly Alex and I who were doing all of the editing together. And so I would do the first pass. So I would look through the audio, find the silence gap that we'd prepared at the beginning, use that for background noise removal. Once we've done that, we clean the audio a little bit using a couple of tricks that we have up our sleeve, and make sure that each bit of the audio is sounding nice and leveled, and we make sure we take out any top end or bottom end noise, and also we work on the actual waveform itself. We normalize it to make sure that it's all kind of playing at a standard volume level and there's nothing there that will aggravate or annoy any of our listeners. And then once that's done, we start cutting it together.
Yes. So what's worth bearing in mind in this is that when you're editing an episode, we actually split it into sort of 3 parts, I'd say, really, which is vocal cut is you take your audio and you get the vocals. You get what you want there. You get it laid out correctly. You get the timings right, and you get it sounding like someone speaking it, you know, without retakes, etc.
Yeah.
The second layer that, again, I'll pass to Mike when we go into a bit more detail is we put the music in. We put in ambiences and soundscaping and all of that. And then the last stage is the sort of mastering, which is realistically, it's just going through and tweaking and tweaking and tweaking and tweaking until it's just right. But let's say that we've got our vocal cut together. What's the next step?
Well, once everyone's sounding as beautiful as they can possibly do, Alex.
Or horribly, but in a good way.
Horribly, but in a good way also. We have some music tracks which are produced by our in-house music producer, mm-hmm. Sam the Music Man. And
official title.
yeah. He's developed some tracks specifically for season 2. So in season 1, we had some tracks that were developed for season 1. But in season 2, we wanted to kind of give it a little bit of a different feel. We wanted something that was a bit more dynamic. And so we worked on producing a series of tracks that work together, no matter what order you put them in, which is quite clever on his part.
Yeah, so they're all, like, for anyone who knows their music, they're all in compatible keys, they're all in compatible time signatures and that kind of thing. So you can layer them up as many times as you want and they will all still fit together like a jigsaw.
So some are more bassy, some are more trebly, and there are some that are kind of middling. So you've got your upper, middle and bass. And then you just sort of use your ear, really, at the key points to try and make sure that the music isn't overbearing, but is also trying to emphasize the specific parts of the story that it needs to. So if a monster's chasing you, chuck in a little bit of treble, or dependent on the type of monster, maybe some bass, and then you work it through all the way through until the key crux of the episode.
To quote Sam the Music Man, good music is invisible in that it's there, and if it was missing, you'd notice, but when it is there, you're not really paying attention to it, because if you're paying attention to it, there's too much going on.
And that's the hardest part.
It's really, yeah.
That's the hardest part about editing the music for Magnus, because getting that, striking that balance between things being not quite visible in terms of you're not focusing on the music but being present, that's the trick. And we only really know that we've done that once we go through the mastering stage. Mm-hmm. Where that's sort of where I kind of pass it back to Alex and say, hey, what do you think of this?
The thing to bear in mind as well is that at the start it was just myself and Mike, and now we have we've had a dedicated team working on it. We've had someone working on vocals, we have someone working on music, and it's all been a lot more complex but a lot more streamlined as well. And it gets passed eventually to myself for mastering. And what mastering consists of is it's always easiest when the director is mastering, because the director knows what it should sound like, ideally before they've heard the episode. You know, you have a clear idea of what it should sound like, what bits should be silent, what bits should have a loud noise to them, what should have soundscaping, what shouldn't. And basically what we'll do is we'll go through and it'll tweak one little tweak here, one little tweak there, but through every single second. And when I'm saying a tweak, I'm talking sometimes we'll shift a vocal performance a tenth of a second. I've spent 10, 20 minutes before getting that tenth of a second right, because that edit's just not quite sitting right. And then one thing that I've been tending to do as well is I'll do the soundscaping, and that's one that can take a long time as well. So with that, the way that we've been functioning is we'll take either some Foley, rarely, but normally we'll make use of Creative Commons available Foley that other people have recorded. We tidy it up. We basically pass it in some ways through all of the stages that you would a normal edit. And then we layer them together until you've built your soundscape. So that sort of falls under mastering at the moment. But long story short, once all that's been assembled, we have a finished file, let's say, that we then export as an MP3. And that is our package product. That is our, we have an episode here. And at that point, gets handed to Martin and Ben, between the two of them, really. Because Ben, you handled the uploading and so on, and Martin sort of set up all the infrastructure. So between the two of you, can you walk through what happens? We have just handed and put on the sort of servers and the drives ready a finished Magnus episode on time and wonderfully in time for release, etc.
That's a lie and you know it.
So what happens next?
Well, I don't know, Martin, do you want to start off with the sort of the foundation?
Well, yeah, first of all, there's the initial setup of our systems. We've gone through different ways of hosting audio.
We've moved around a lot.
Yes, and there's the between stages where you have to take all the audio previously and move it to the new system. So we've done that now at least 3 times.
So what are those systems doing?
So they're doing a number of things. One of the things they're doing is hosting an RSS feed, which is what everyone is subscribed to. So that's just a big list of a format called XML that just has a big list of episodes. And they're also hosting the audio files themselves. So that's just a file itself.
So your
on the
RSS
internet.
Feed is more like, for computers, it's a written set of directions leading you to the files.
It is, in fact, a directory.
Yeah.
Yes. So both of those are actually hosted on Acast, and it makes our website, it means that our website is a lot lighter and does very little, essentially, and just points and says, oh yeah, the RSS feed, go to Acast, they know all about that.
So pretty much the heart of everything comes down to that RSS feed, which is, yeah, that set of directions. So from the website, if you play something from the website, actually what you're doing is you're clicking a tool that just goes to that directory, goes, oh, this is where the file is, and then plays it for you. So that's pretty much the core of what everything holds around.
Well, it's whatever, like regardless of what podcast player you're using, all the podcast player is doing is checking the RSS feed and downloading the episode when the RSS feed says, it's here.
And that's the same for all podcasts. Like all podcasts that are running, as far as I'm aware, that's the only way that you can really do podcasts.
iTunes is so tied to the format that I think it's basically like when you're hosting a podcast, it's an iTunes podcast, and that's just the format that you use, even if you're not necessarily listening to it on iTunes.
if there's one piece of advice for anyone who's wanting to do a podcast, is it is so much easier to use one of the big like systems. So Libsyn's the most common one because it does it all for you, and you can put it on there and it will handle a lot of the sort of admin of getting your feeds added to other places.
Or you could do it yourself like we did, which figure it all out.
Ages, but we know how it works now, which is good.
Well, the other thing is also, if we are not on your podcast feed of preference or platform of preference, do let us know. New ones pop up all the time, and we don't necessarily know them all. And it also helps if there is a particular platform you want, just tell us and we'll add it.
Yeah. But Anil, not... the audience are saying, but Anil, how do we get in touch with you?
Well, you can get in touch with us on Twitter at The Rusty Quill, or email us, mail@rustyquill.com. We have a Facebook page, and we also do scour various other forms of social media. But it is probably easiest to find us on Twitter or email.
Genuinely speaking, though, if you're having technical issues with a system, let us know. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'd say the majority of the time it's not an issue with the way that we're running things, which is great, but
try turning it off.
But we do need to know, so do let us know if you're running into problems.
Yeah. Tweet me and I will basically drop Martin a line and basically bug him until he either gives me an answer or the problem is fixed.
There is one exception, which I'm going to address now and we have addressed previously, is Google Play. Google Play is not currently available in the UK, and for reasons that make no sense to anyone, when you make your RSS feed, it has to be tied to a real-world country, basically. We are tied to the UK because we make things in the UK, and what that means is that Google Play is not available for us. When it is available, we will be available on there, but who knows when that will happen, so...
Similarly with Spotify, we are working on that one.
Sure. That's sort of our infrastructure, so that's the sort of nitty-gritty nuts and bolts of how things go together. Ben, you're really at the moment the person that I'm handing these finished files to. What do you do with it when you've handed a finished file?
So it usually turns up in Google Drive, and then I have to upload it to two places. One of that's the Patreon, which is patreon.com/rustyquill. And the other one is Acast. So Acast have their own back end. And basically what I've got to do is upload both those things, make sure the adverts appear in the right place. So although if you want them without adverts, come to the Patreon because it has no adverts on it. So that's good.
That's the reason for it.
That is in fact the reason for it. And basically just make sure I've got the title right, that I have credited. Alex keeps a big Google Doc with all of the credits and stuff. So
because we're using Creative Commons effects, part of that is that almost always they ask for attribution, which is where you say, this person gave me this effect. This is where I can get it. And if you actually look in the show notes for any Magnus episode, anytime we've used an SFX, there's always either a direct link to the thing, or we'll mention that it's previously credited artists, because shocker, some people are good at it and we use them so much that we just have a massive list that you can just go look at via the show notes.
Yeah, and I just compile the show notes for that and credit anyone that needs crediting, make sure that all the patrons for that week are in, and then just basically scheduling it.
What happens next, Anil? It's sat there, it is ready to go.
Assuming you have subscribed, it should be waiting for you when you get up or when you get home, depending if you are in the US. I will then do a shout out on social media, and then I'll go on the forums and you will get a dedicated thread to the episode. After that, I'll then give it a couple of hours, and throughout the day, I will then do social media sweeps just to keep an eye on what people are saying, see if there are any problems with the episode. Then check the Reddit. We do have a dedicated subreddit for Magnus at r/TheMagnusArchives. And just follow the conversation. See if people like the episode. See what they are talking about it. Have they delved into the conspiracies and the red string behind it?
Would definitely recommend listen to the episode first, then go on the forum about it.
Yes. Yeah, that is a good idea.
So, see what the discussions on the forums and subreddit are going. And then I'll also do a sweep checking what the Tumblr community are saying about it.
Proper shout out to the Tumblr community and what they are doing with...
The amount...
with fan art that we're doing.
The fan art, the stories. And I will say here, those of you who have listened to the Q&A will have heard Johnny say that he doesn't read any of the fanfic
and
or anything
myself,
like that.
I don't either.
And neither does Alex.
No one who's generating story read the fanfics.
We get to.
I will say that I will. I'm really interested to see what you guys have come up with. The fan art is amazing.
And the fan art,
we're really interested to see how you guys have interpreted the episode.
One thing that I'll mention at this point as well is we are always on the hunt for visual artists, and we're always on the hunt for new people to get involved. If you've done some fan art and you think it's great, yeah, like, if you want to just release it, like, in Tumblr and keep it out of our site, that's absolutely fine. But similarly, if you want us to see it, send it us. And if you're sending us stuff that's great, we will come and we will message you and be like, that's really good.
We won't come to your house.
I think it is also important to say, like, yeah, if you're doing fan art and you're not a professional artist and you're not doing it, like, you're doing it because you want to do it and not as a job thing, also send it to us because it's really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I saw some Elias fan art, I think, for the first time with the Brutal Sounds of Extended... Oh, yeah.
Sounds of Extended Brutal Pipe Murder.
Which... comes from the transcript, which, and again, transcript you can find on our Patreon.
Transcripts, as in, very, very quickly, other things that we have to do regularly. So we have to generate transcripts and other Patreon bonus material.
Patreon content is something else that I also produce. So, again, those of you who listen to the Q&A will also know that I am the writer for Martin's poetry.
Sure.
And that gets released every so often on the Patreon feed. I also do the transcripts, and we release those for free on the Patreon feed, both in a normal format and in an accessible format. I will say one thing Alex did mention, talking about communities not wishing necessarily everything to be shown. If you are on Tumblr or even on Twitter and you don't want us to look at or feedback on stuff that you've produced, we do have a tag for Do Not Archive. So you can use that and you can be sure that this is not getting back to the creators at all.
Yeah. And I think that's basically it. I mean, we can't dive into every single little thing because that will take days,
hours,
so much time.
Maybe but it's months. All content, Alex.
Yeah.
Delicious.
I haven't told you about my Flambéed episodes yet.
But I think we'll wrap up there. So that was a very, very quick walkthrough of how we go from script to what arrives in your podcatcher of choice. As we've said this before, and we'll say it again, if you want to get these things automatically sent to your podcatcher of choice, if you want the episodes waiting for you when you wake up in the morning, remember to subscribe. You can go get them manually and you can go fetch them, but honestly, there's so many easier ways of doing it if you just use one of the podcast services. Or again, you can look at it on the website and stream it from there if you'd prefer, www.rustyquill.com, but subscribing is easier. If you haven't already, leaving a review on whatever service you use to access the episodes makes a massive difference for us. A lot of people underestimate how much of a difference that makes. It literally determines how visible we are on these services so that when new people are looking for a podcast, we're there, we're waiting for them. The reason that we're so visible on iTunes is because so many people have taken time to review on iTunes, but that's not the only service out there. If you want to do us a favor, and it doesn't cost you anything apart from a little bit of time, leaving us a review will make a massive difference for us. And then the last but not least thing is spreading the word. We have no marketing budget. We are not spending money on posters and on adverts and promos. The only reason that anyone has heard of us is because one person heard us, went, that's quite good, and then told other people. That's how we've been functioning. That's how we've got to where we are. So the biggest favor you can do is recommending us to people until Martin finds a way to entirely automate the listening process so that now no listeners are needed. Yeah, that's going to be the best way that you can really help us
out. Just make the podcast listen to themselves.
And not just Alex. It really glands my heart when I see somebody say, "Ooh, have you heard the Magnus Archives?"
And also, I mean, from the editing team's perspective as well, whenever we look at reviews that are left about the podcast, we always feel a little bit better knowing that, you know, if people are enjoying it, then what they're enjoying, or if they're not enjoying it, how we can make it better.
Yeah, so tell us about the production value.
Throw some love to the editors. By far, it's the hardest, least rewarding job here. It's really difficult and takes ages and dedicated.
But make sure you say Elias is brilliant.
So I think we'll close up there. But thank you all for coming and talking about sort of the making of. And we look forward for season 3. And we hope you all enjoy the trailer, which should be incoming to you very soon.
Woo!
Bye, guys.
The Magnus Archives, Season 3, coming November 23rd, 2017. See you then.
Na, noch keine Pläne fürs Wochenende? Besucht die Rotkäppchen-Erlebniswelt in Freiburg mit euren Mädels, der Oma oder dem Knallertypen von nebenan. Wir lieben alle Jahrgänge. Entdeckt unsere interaktive Ausstellung bei der Erlebnistour mit Audioguide und einem Glas Sekt und genießt im Pavillon die ganze Welt von Rotkäppchen. Die Rotkäppchen-Erlebniswelt, nur eine Sektlänge entfernt.
Billy Hindle here, the voice of Alice in the Magnus Protocol, and I'm here to tell you about From the Library of Jürgen Leitner, an upcoming novel available for pre-order right now at rustyquill.com/novel. Return to the world of the Magnus Archives in From the Library of Jürgen Leitner, an official prequel novel written by Nebula, World Fantasy and Aurora award-winning author Primi Mohammed, with the help of the Magnus Archives' own writer and lead voice, Jonathan Sims. From the Library of Jürgen Leitner explores an infamous organization from the Magnusverse for the first time, the perilous private library of the enigmatic collector Jürgen Leitner, where occult books are guarded and researched at a fatal cost. Leitner's library keeps the dangers of these books in check and their would-be readers safe, or so Leitner claims. For two of Leitner's employees, the risks are worth it. For Hugh Franklin, the library is a place to belong. For Sebastian Everett, the library is an opportunity to indulge arcane ambitions. Though their 10 years at the library were years apart, Hugh and Sebastian's stories unfold in parallel, and their footsteps echo down the same eerie aisles, caught in a web spun long before either ever heard the name Jürgen Leitner. Will they find a way out, or will the library consume them before it's too late? From the Library of Jürgen Leitner will be published on October 27th, 2026, and is available for pre-order now. Visit rustyquill.com/novel for more information. That's rustyquill.com/NOVEL.